This is Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Science Fiction Shorts, brought to you by a team of volunteer readers. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience, and it will be available in podcast after the broadcast. A Phone, My Heart, and Maybe My Last Shred of Dignity by Luke Reed. It seemed to Iowa, as she curled up on her automod, cradling the antique cell phone, that sometimes it was better to experience things backwards. When you lived through things forwards, you had to live with the fear of what might or might not happen. When you looked backwards, though, the worst was always over. In reverse, you could see your failed relationships and your humiliating childhood as though you'd zoomed out, as though you were floating free over a sea of distant events that no longer pertained to you. You didn't have to worry that the next person you tried to love would turn out to be even worse than the last one, or that your crazy plans might go wrong. Nothing really stopped Iowa from trying out crazy plans anyway, as long as they were conducted indoors. It was true that she came completely unraveled whenever she tried to speak to someone in public, and it was true that she was damaged goods, but crazy plans were not the kind of thing that daunted her. With her automod cupping her in its oversized cushions and dusk draining the light out of her keepsake-crammed micro-apartment, she was free to critique her latest crazy plan, to reflect on the series of disasters she'd created and on what they had done to her life. Earlier, Iowa's Sanabot, a cheap, stylish bronze model, the size of a cat, whistled cheerfully as it foamed at the burned spots and spatters of blood and grease in her dining area carpet. Iowa's nose was dripping from crying, and she had snorted everything back up into her nostrils to prevent snot getting on her blouse. Scatty shook her head in disbelief and patted Iowa's hand. "I really have to go," Scatty said. "No," Iowa said. "I'm so sorry. We can get something from the dispenser. Don't..." She trailed off, too scared to say what she wanted Scatty not to do. Scatty's round face crinkled for a fraction of a second in an expression of happiness, or maybe pity. From her old messenger bag, she took out something black and hand-sized. A stubby rod stuck out from the hinge of the device, and Scatty pulled on this as she pried the thing open, extruding a little antenna. Inside, the bottom section of the device had black buttons on it with white numbers and letters. The top section said, "Motorola." "A phone?" Iowa said. "The real stuff," Scatty said. "Vintage." She gave a little click-click noise with the side of her mouth. "So long." Then she walked out of the apartment. Iowa watched her go, clutching the phone because she knew what it meant, the smell of burnt feathers strong in her nostrils. Earlier still, the flaming chicken finally collapsed in a heap on the carpet, but the fire alarm continued howling. Iowa was paralyzed, tears streaming down her face, frozen in humiliation and horror. Scatty grabbed Iowa's extinguisher box from the wall and depressed the button. Auto-targeting, it spewed a column of white foam that engulfed the dead bird and quickly melted away, leaving a sodden, blackened, twitching corpse that didn't look anything like the perfect dinner Iowa had pictured. The alarm went quiet, and for a moment the only sounds were Iowa's sniffling and the hum in the walls as the ventilation system cranked itself up too high. Before that, the chicken let out a screech and burst into flame. It floundered in the box, a grotesquely spasming ball of flames. Yanking loose from the tether, it upended the box and tumbled out. It made horrible, strangling noises as it ran around Iowa's dining area, crashing into walls and spattering everything with hot blood. The fire alarm came to life with a blare that hurt Iowa's ears, almost as badly as seeing what she had done to that poor chicken hurt her heart. Earlier. "Don't worry," Iowa said, beaming. "I'm pretty sure this is exactly the way they used to do it. Here, come watch." "Iowa, I'm not..." Scatty said, but her voice trailed off. Iowa stopped short. Stupid. Stupid. She'd been sure, but she'd made mistakes before. Apparently she'd just made another one. "You don't like girls?" she whispered. Scatty looked up at the ceiling in mock exasperation. "Actually, I do like girls. I'm just not sure I'm ready to see a chicken electrocuted." "No, no, it'll be painless. They used to do it to people." "Yeah, but..." "Oh, right. I forgot you know all about those things. But come see. It'll be exciting, just like in the Twin Sen." She could feel Scatty's resistance, so Iowa forged ahead before there could be any more objections. She opened the box where the chicken still sat, looking agitated, its foot securely tethered, but the clip on its right wing having fallen off. Gently, Iowa reconnected the clip. Then she followed the wires back to the dining area table and flipped the switch on her electrocutor. Earlier, there was nothing more to do. Scatty had sent a generic accept message back. The chicken had been brought over by courier and was tethered in a box in the dining area, and the wires on the electrocutor from the custom fab stand were already clipped to its wings. Iowa sat, waiting, for what seemed like a long time. The only sound was the anxious rustling of the chicken. "Scatty Halverson is here," the domestic computer finally announced from all around her. Iowa jumped up and ran for the front door, but then she forced herself to slow to a walk. She smoothed her hair and tugged at her blouse, which didn't need to be adjusted. "Oh, hi," she mumbled under her breath. That didn't sound quite right. "Hi, good evening." "Oh, hello." She was at the door now, and she nervously tapped its control contact. It slid open, revealing Scatty rummaging in her messenger bag. Her short red hair was rumpled, her eyes were bright, and she apparently didn't realize that the controller on her arm was strapped on upside down. "Oh, hello," Iowa said in what was supposed to be a suave voice. She sounded like a 12-year-old boy making fun of an Englishman. She winced. Hi, Scatty said. She seemed jumpy. "I actually was going to come see you sometime, so this is good. What's the thing?" "Thanks so much for stopping by," Iowa said. "Thanks so much for stopping by." She kicked herself mentally. "Won't you come in? I was just making dinner." Wasn't there a non-idiot mode for her brain? Kick, kick. "I can't. I have work," Scatty said. I mean, I can for a minute, but I can't stay. I'm supposed to be doing deliveries." Reluctance was okay. Iowa could work with that. Anyway, she had a real ace in the pocket. "I'm making chicken," she said. "Real chicken, like back in the Twin Sen." Scatty stared. "You are not." "I am." "Well, I've got to see this. And stay to eat." "That's not fair," Scatty protested. "I really can't." Iowa tossed her head to make her hair flip fetchingly. It fell in her face instead. A few strands ended up in her mouth. She discreetly spat out the hair, pushed it to the side of her cheeks, and smiled graciously, and led the way to the dining room, where her table and the food dispenser was. "I'm going to electrocute it," she said brightly. Earlier, Iowa wished she understood makeup at all, but her mother had tried to teach her the way her mom had always tried to teach everything, using criticism and panic, so they never got very far. She came away from the bathroom mirror pretty sure she didn't look like a circus clown, but she didn't feel like herself, and she certainly didn't feel half as beautiful as she would have liked. It was easy enough to find Scatty's public node through the performer listing on Corptastic's FairHub, but she couldn't just virtual Scatty and have a conversation. It's not that she wouldn't. She really couldn't. As far as Iowa was concerned, meeting someone in virtual space was no different from talking in public, just with avatars watching instead of physical people. The fact that she managed even to whisper after that purple-haired guy had interrupted was a little baby miracle, although it wasn't like that had turned out so well. With no better options, she settled for queuing up a text message at Scatty's public node, saying, "I have an old-time Twin Sen thing I'm trying to figure out. Sorry to bother you, but you seemed really knowledgeable. Could you come take a look? I gave you perms for my contact info." Then she sat down on the auto mode, which molded itself into a fat, comforting chair, and waited. Earlier. Getting a chicken, Iowa was surprised to find out, was actually no problem. There were 3 rare animal dealers right downtown who sold them. Their hubs came up instantly when she checked the stream. Ooh-wee, though, they were pricey. Still, she was a frugal person, so she had plenty squirreled away. She had a freight logistics job she did for a company she had never visited, located somewhere in Nevada. They paid okay. She had the chicken ordered within minutes, a Rhode Island red. It looked very pretty to her, or she guessed she meant it looked delicious. She didn't like the idea of killing anything, but it wasn't as though they were raised to be pets. Someone was going to kill them, and if they were going to die, they could hardly do better than to do so in service to Iowa getting a girlfriend. How to kill it, though? That was the problem, and it should be a humane way, the most humane possible. Well, didn't they used to kill people back in the Tuen Sen? However they killed actual people would definitely be the best way, because people get treated better than animals. She sat down on her stream console, put on the glasses, and mumbled some search terms, coming up with an answer within a few seconds. Electrocution and lethal injection. What a couple of choices. Lethal injection was out because she didn't want to poison dinner. It was too bad she couldn't use lethal injection of melted butter. So it would have to be electrocution. And that led to an inevitable question. What's the best way to electrocute a chicken? She'd need something with cables and a switch, probably, and she could order up something like that from a custom fab stand. She'd get clips made at the end of the wires, and in order not to hurt the chicken and avoid being pecked, she'd put the clips just on the ends of its wings. She'd make sure the electrocutor device used a very high amount of electricity, however those things were measured, so that it would be quick and painless. There. That didn't sound so hard. One quick shock, and it would be all over for the chicken. It would never know the difference. Maybe the electricity would even cook the chicken for her. She shifted over to the sales node for a local fab stand, selected an electrical design assistance module, and got to work on her electrocutor. Earlier. Back at home, Iowa shoved herself deep into the auto mod, which obligingly rearranged its cushions to wrap itself around her. She spent a long time sitting there and going over in torturous detail every stupid thing she had just done. It was a long, satisfying, miserable self-flagellation. But after a while, the same thing happened to her that always happened when she tried to take herself seriously for too long, which is that she stopped caring. Sure, she'd done some stupid things, but they weren't any stupider than a bunch of other things she'd done in the past. Anyway, nothing was necessarily wrecked yet. The fact of the matter was that she still felt exactly the same way she'd felt when she'd slipped on that jello. Besides, even if it was just a pleasantry, Scatty had called her Fave. So the only rational avenue forward was to come up with a crazy plan. And crazy plans were easy Google for Iowa. This one involved a real live chicken. Earlier. After the presentation, Iowa had to wait until a woman with maybe 5 dozen children, okay, it was only 3, but they moved around a lot, was finished haranguing Scatty about her theories on Tuen Sen entertainment. Scatty answered the few questions the woman came up with, but she kept glancing over at her little paper box of food, which Iowa guessed was her real-life lunch. Finally, the old woman who lived in a shoe went away with her dozens. Scatty immediately lunged for the paper box. By the time Iowa got to her, Scatty had a big mouthful of slab meat. "Muff, muff," said Scatty sheepishly. Iowa could tell this meant, "Oh, hi." Iowa glanced around. There were at least 12 people walking by, just a few meters away. She willed them not to look at her, and then resolutely turned back to Scatty, trying to forget she was in public. She took a deep breath, smiled nervously, and handed Scatty the phone. Her heart seemed to be beating about 5 times normal speed. She tried to breathe slowly so that she wouldn't pass out. Scatty took the phone reluctantly and regarded it as she chewed, looking at it from different angles. She looked back at Iowa and swallowed. "Did you have a question or something?" Iowa's smile faltered. Had she done it the right way? Scatty must know what giving someone a phone meant, but maybe it only meant that if you did it a certain way. Petrified, Iowa realized this meant that she was going to have to talk with people nearby.
"It's a phone," she whispered.
"Yes, it is," said Scatty.
"I'm giving you a phone."
"Okay. Thanks." Iowa tried to say something more, but her throat seized up. She looked back and forth between Scatty and the passers-by, who were probably going to begin staring at any second. Her mouth opened and closed like a gulpy goldfish. She began blinking, trying not to cry. "Oh, hey, you're not worried about those people, are you?" Scatty said. "Here, come back into the Twensen with me, where they haven't been born yet. There'll be nothing to worry about at all." Iowa gave Scatty her "don't patronize me" look, which she had honed to sharpness, growing up with 2 know-it-all parents who insisted on doing everything for her, especially when there were other people around. Scatty took Iowa's hand and tugged, guiding her carefully around the collapsed wall to a couch that didn't so much as twitch when they sat on it. "Okay, here we are in the Twensen, completely safe from any futuristic-type people who might otherwise bother us," Scatty said. A shuffling noise distracted them, and Iowa looked up to see a heavy-set man with purple hair moving toward the set, carrying a big hand made of red foam. One finger on the big hand was pointing up. "Sorry, on break," Scatty shouted before he came close. "I just... sorry. Could... nope. But... closed. Please go away. Love to talk later." The purple-haired guy stood there, indecisive, but Scatty turned from him and fixed Iowa with her bright blue eyes. "So, what were you going to say?" Iowa didn't dare to look at the man, but in a moment there was more shuffling, which grew fainter. Focusing only on Scatty, she took a deep breath and whispered,
"In your demo, you said that when people wanted to go out on dates, sometimes they gave each other a phone. I'm..."
She couldn't go any further. Understanding dawned on Scatty's face, and she began to laugh so hard it turned into snorting. Iowa felt like someone had just poured a bucket of humiliation over her head. Scatty seemed to be trying to stop the laughter, but her face was red and she was shaking with tears coming out of the corners of her eyes. "Oh, Fave," Scatty finally gasped. "A phone call, not a phone. They used the phone to call each other, get it?" Iowa leapt to her feet, but Scatty snatched her hand. "Hey, wait," Scatty said. "I don't mind. I think it's cute." But Iowa knew she'd made an idiot of herself, just like she always did, and she jerked her hand away. She sprinted out of the parking garage, mentally vowing to never, ever speak to anyone in public again. Earlier, Iowa didn't like leaving Scatty's presentation before it was done, but the best time to catch her would probably be just after she finished, so she slipped away. For a moment, it seemed as though Scatty had turned her head to watch Iowa leave, but Iowa suspected it was only because it's annoying if someone walks away when you're talking. She fervently hoped she wasn't ruining her chances by ducking out. Only 100 meters or so away, there was a souvenir shop designed to look like a Twensen convenience store. Iowa rushed into it, looking for phones. "Can I help you find something?" said the sales boy. Iowa didn't understand his costume. He was wearing some kind of eye makeup. His clothes were entirely black, and there were little pieces of jewelry piercing his nose. Now that she saw him talking, it turned out he even had jewelry on his tongue. Iowa just smiled, anxious. She looked around. There wasn't anyone else nearby. She leaned over and whispered in his ear,
"A phone."
He thought for a second. walked over to the next aisle, reached up to a white metal shelf, and pulled something out from behind a row of fuzzy toys. It didn't look like a phone to her. It was yellowish-white, with a short, squat piece featuring a round, numbery thing, and another longish piece that had two bulby protrusions at the ends. The two pieces fit together by the long thing sitting in a little rack on the squat thing, and they were connected by a curly, rubbery cord. "It's just a non-working replica," said the boy with jewelry in his tongue. Iowa gave a disbelieving look. He sighed and projected a little air screen. After a few seconds of searching the stream with sub-vocal voice commands, he put a 2D video on the screen of someone in Twensen work clothing like Scatty's talking into one of the bulby protrusions. Iowa nodded, took out her pocket controller, and thumbed a payment authorization without even checking the price. It turned out it cost nearly 300 pans. She must be crazy, giving a dumb, expensive present like this to a perfect stranger. Crazy or not, she picked up her phone and went back to the presentation. Scatty was just winding things up. Earlier. It wasn't that Iowa knew a lot about the Twensen period or that she was even especially interested. The fair was just a way to be out among people. Iowa took every opportunity to get out of her too quiet apartment, to lose herself randomly in the masses of humanity and feel like a part of something, even if she was really only an observer. Probably she should have just gotten a pet, but she hadn't had much luck with pets and had kind of a jinx feeling about the whole topic. It wasn't that she didn't work extra hard to take good care of her pets. It was just that they tended to die horrible deaths. So in order not to be alone, Iowa was only too grateful to be able to go to something like Corptastic's annual Twensen Fair at an old-time parking garage on the north end of town. She didn't participate in the activities, the stock-breaking seminars, the sitcom plays, the shopping contests. She just walked around, looked at people's costumes, sampled the food, little paper cups of wobbly, translucent stuff called Jell-O, and deep-fried hamburgers, and basked in the general feeling of temporary community. The air around her was filled with quaint Twensenisms. "Groovy! Really? But your mom does. Now listen here, you dude." People had come together, and they were happy, and laughing, and interested, and exciting. They all swirled around Iowa, accepting her, demanding nothing. There was no better feeling. Well, no, that wasn't strictly true. Love might be better. Given Iowa's track record, though, she didn't feel qualified to say. It was just as that thought struck her that she stepped on a piece of this Jell-O someone had dropped and skidded wildly for half a meter, barely keeping her feet. When she got her balance back, she looked around to see if anyone was staring, but no one was. She was at the back of a small crowd. The crowd was watching a woman give a presentation in a replica of a Twensen living space, complete with wood and cloth furniture and a little cooking area full of plastic devices. An air screen said, "Scatty Halverson, Twensen Single Living Demo." "So what we call the Twensen really covers about 80 years, said Scatty. Scatty was in her mid-20s, like Iowa, and she had short, curly red hair like a little wreath of flame around her face. She wore a Twensen business suit, a tie, and shiny black shoes. When Scatty spoke, she spoke in rushes, her words tumbling out between thick, expressive pauses during which she seemed to be mentally catching up with what she had just said. And sometimes she paused for just a moment, right in the middle of a phrase. Scatty continued, "You can think of it running from about 1950 right up until the uplink period. The Twensen was when computers first became important, when the telephone and television were king, when the world really got connected. But even though people were able to reach each other at any moment for the first time in history through phone, email, text, or virtual immersion, there was a lot of loneliness.
When people left school and began their adult lives, they didn't have options like the extended family housing groups and co-housing communities like we have today. While only 4% of 20-somethings today live alone, back time there were 10 times that many. I'm a 4%er, Iowa thought. That's what she was, one of the misfits. Scatty demonstrated microwaving a meal then, taking a roast chicken dinner in a paper container out of something called a freezer, basically nothing more than a very cold box, and showed how young adults would spend time watching 2D television or using a computer game called Facebook. "Is that from a real chicken, like at the zoo?" a little kid called out. Scatty laughed. "Wouldn't that be great? But no, of course this is slab meat, just like you'd get from your kitchen dispenser." She gestured to a control eye, and the lighting in the living area changed to a nighttime mode. She gestured to a control eye, and the lighting in the living area changed to a nighttime mode. Matchmaking services were very limited for most of the Twensen period, Scatty said. So people would invite each other on dates. You could give someone a phone, call, use Facebook, send a text, or trial date in a virtual world first. Her face went into a cutely salacious expression, and she gave a little click-click noise with the side of her mouth. A huge smile that had been building for most of the last few minutes climbed up Iowa's cheeks, and she felt her heart skip. The passion and the crazy idea came at the same time. Give someone a phone. That was ridiculously quaint. It would be something nobody else would think of in the present day, even if back in the Twensen it had been completely normal. Iowa's attention was jerked back to Scatty's presentation by a crash. Scatty had accidentally bumped the microwave machine off its counter. She lurched after it, but it was too late. The microwave slammed into one of the cheap fiber foam walls and tore the whole thing, windows, shelves and all, loose from the rest of the set. Scatty went down after the microwave, and a shelf of paper book replicas also made of fiber foam cascaded down on top of her. "I'm okay," Scatty called, struggling to her feet. Two teenagers in black broke into sarcastic applause. Everyone else looked painfully embarrassed. Scatty brushed wisps of fiber foam off her suit, smiling ruefully. "Not to worry, no fatalities, nothing's on fire." Then she started a demonstration of 2D telecommuting, but by that time, Iowa was already wrapped up in her new, crazy plan. You've been listening to Science Fiction Shorts on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This show is brought to you by a team of volunteer readers. If you enjoy our work, listen up again next time. Meanwhile, this show is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Comments and suggestions are welcome. Call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. We'd love to know how many sci-fi fans are really out there.